My name is Sam. My wife Taylor and I are your pastors here, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you today. We're thrilled you're here. How many of you are thankful? It's not like last Sunday where it snowed like 14 feet. Today we're in part two of three of a teaching series called Imagine. So if you missed Imagine last week, the kickoff, let me kind of explain what this is all about. If you could turn, this is our theme verse for this entire series. It's 3 weeks long. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. I'm reading this from the Voice translation. It's kind of a different translation of the Bible. We wanted to give some fresh verbiage to a verse that a lot of people may have heard before. And this is the theme that we're kind of going after. This is the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "Now to the God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ask or imagine through the power at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus the anointed from this generation to the next, forever and ever." Somebody say amen. What I love about this text is to the God who can do more than we can imagine. And what we're doing in this series is using our imagination a little bit. Imagination can be defined as forming mental images of things not yet present. It's seeing something that's not yet physically there. Now, last week we imagined what it could look like to, does anybody know what we imagined last week? Can anybody remember? Debt-free. We talked about living debt-free. How many of you guys would like to imagine what it looks like living debt-free? Awesome. I'm guessing maybe you don't have to imagine if you didn't clap because you're already debt free. But for if you're in debt, that's a really good thing to imagine, being debt free. And next week, we're going to imagine what it looks like to get the Spirit of God on your finances. I think it's going to be a week you don't want to miss. How many of you guys would like to have the Spirit of God on your money? And today, I want to dive into kind of an odd text in the Bible found in Ezekiel chapter 37 as we continue to imagine. So if you guys could turn to Ezekiel chapter 37, I'm going to read this text here that's titled The Valley of Dry Bones. Has anybody heard the Valley of Dry Bones before? Today what we're going to do is prophesy some to dead bones in this place. And if you look at Ezekiel 37, I'm going to read 1 through 14. When somebody has it on your phone, on the screen, when you can see it, somebody just to help me out a little bit, say amen today. All right, Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 1. The Lord, if you guys could picture this too, this is a really interesting portion of scripture. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried up. It's like bones on bones on bones, right? And then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" Ezekiel answers, "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I'm the Lord." So I spoke this message just as he told me. You know, when God gives you a word to speak, you need to speak the word the Lord gave you, not somebody else's word. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise. How many of you know God can do it suddenly? A rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the wind, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds. Breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Verse 11, then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished, therefore prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done what I said. Yes. The Lord has spoken. Today, from this text, I want to talk to you on the subject today of imagining incredible victories. All right. Let me pray and then we'll get into this. Father, enlarge our dreams today, expand our minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the passage I just read to you from Ezekiel chapter 37 is an interesting text in Scripture where the prophet Ezekiel is taken to a vision. And in this vision, as we had just read, he pictures a valley of dry bones. It's a very interesting scene. Now, scholars over the year have looked at this text and have said a lot of different things on what this text and these dry bones represent. Some people say it's a depiction of end times, that as Ezekiel prophesied to dead bones, that they assembled together, and that this is really the picture of what it will look like on the last day when that great trumpet sounds and Jesus returns to earth and dead bodies will raise, and it doesn't matter how dry the bones are, that they'll come together once again by the breath of God. Some people say this is a prophetic word telling the resurrection of the nation of Israel. Now, I don't have time to get into this morning, but a really cool thing has happened in the last few years is that a lot of this prophetic word in Ezekiel chapter 37 has happened in our lifetime in the nation of Israel. And it's really a sign of the times that we're living in. So I can see why people think that. Some say dry bones in this picture are a picture of a dead church that's able to come back to life. That, you know, there's dead churches that are sometimes a little bit more like a museum than a hospital, and that this word is telling us that no matter how dead it might be, when the Spirit of God is breathed onto it, it can be revived for God's use once again. Some people say this is a picture of salvation. How many of you know what it feels like to be a valley of dead bones where you couldn't do anything on your own, but Jesus came and touched your life and put you back together once again and then breathed his spirit into you, and by his spirit you were made alive. Some people think that, and I think all four of those things are right on, but other people say that this is really something else that I really want to dive in today, and that these bones actually represent different situations in your life, that just as these bones were hopeless, that you too might have situations that look hopeless, that no matter how impossible your situation may look. Christian and I didn't get together before he came up here and exhorted the congregation on impossible. But even though how impossible it may look and reassemble, God can reassemble, revive it, restore you, and bring you back to life. Now I want to ask you a question today. How many of you can really think of an impossible situation in your life right now? By show of hands, how many of you can think of something impossible? I want to tell you today, if you can't see something impossible, maybe you need to expand your dreams because you're doing something without faith. I think that's why sometimes that today, I don't want to get ahead of myself too much, but when we come in here and your praise isn't as passionate as it could be, it's because you're not searching a God who can do more than you can dream or imagine, because you're not chasing something impossible in your life. And here's what I got: good news for people that are facing that impossible situation, a situation where you need a miracle, a situation where you need God's supernatural intervention. If you're facing one of those situations today, here's the good news for you, that in order to see an incredible miracle, it requires an impossible situation. In other words, if you're facing something impossible today, somebody should know this today, that you're just right for God. That if you have your back up against the wall, that you're just right for God. If you need a breakthrough today, you're just right for God. That your biggest obstacle is God's greatest opportunity to show you how powerful and mighty he is. And what Ezekiel shows us in this text is that God is really in the business of still bringing dead things back to life. that these bones may have been as dead as they come, dry as they come, but God can still revive something. Your dream might be demolished, but God could still revive it. A venture that you had has failed, but God can restore it. A financial issue you have might seem dismal, but God can do it again. So let me remind you today of this, that the same God who parted the Red Sea can make a way for you where there is no way. The same God who created the universe can create something out of nothing in your life. That the same God who rose Lazarus from the grave can reassemble your dream, your finances, your money, your marriage, whatever situation you're dealing with, because nothing is impossible for God. But here's the issue a lot of us see today, that I see with a lot of us today. Let me tell you a problem I think a lot of believers have, is that we can't see past the impossible to what God is calling us to dream about. That a lot of times we're spiritually nearsighted. Do you guys know what being nearsighted is? I've actually worn contacts since the age of 12 years old. My eyesight is terrible. If I don't have my contacts in or glasses, I can barely see something 5 feet away. However, if I took this and read it, I can still see it up front. But I think a lot of people suffer from spiritual nearsightedness, where all you can see is the problem in front of you instead of the promise beyond you. And here's the thing. This is the problem I've seen with so many people, is that a lot of us, because of this issue, we've settled in a place to play it safe rather than to pursue supernatural. Because what if I pray for somebody and it doesn't happen? I'm just not going to do it. What if I prophesy and the word doesn't come to pass? I'm just going to not do it. What if God spoke to me and I could just go sit back, and if I don't step out, I can't fail? So you played it safe rather than pursued supernatural. But if you want to see God do the impossible in your life, you need to see the invisible. You see, the biggest thing that blocks your vision is sight. The biggest thing that blocks your dream is you can't see it better yet. You see, faith is seeing what's not yet there. How many of you have heard of the company by show of hands named Kodak? Okay, check this out. For nearly 100 years, the Eastman Kodak Company dominated the film industry. Not only did it control 85% of camera sales, but it was ranked in one of the most five valuable brands in America. Now in 1996, Kodak had 140,000 employees and a valuation of $28 billion with a B dollars. But a decade later, they stopped turning a profit. And in 2012, after all this, Kodak filed for bankruptcy. Now the question is, what happened with Kodak? Well, in 1975, a small team of talented technicians at Kodak built the first digital camera. We're going to get it up on the screen for you. This was the first digital camera. Can you imagine this thing? It's the size of a microwave, okay? Like taking a picture. It was 0.01 megapixels and took 23 seconds to process a picture. It kind of makes you really value your smartphone today, even Android users. sorry, it's just too easy. It weighed 8.5 pounds, and it was huge, okay? It makes you really value where we're at today. Kodak at one point was on the cutting edge of technology, but they didn't jump the curve. Instead of embracing what's new, they decided to do what's always been done. Instead of dreaming about what could be, they settled for what's already been done. You see, in our life, I wonder how many people have done that we rely on what God has done instead of what God is going to do. And I want to tell you guys today that nothing honors God more than a God-sized dream. Nothing honors God. He's not offended when you dream. I think a lot of times we put "if your will be done" on the end because we feel bad about dreaming. But I'm telling you today, nothing honors God more than a God-sized dream. What a God-sized dream does is it enlarges your vision, but it also makes you pray. Because you can't accomplish that thing without prayer. You know you can't do it without God. And what I believe in the body of Christ is that those who have been following Christ the longest should dream the most. You know, the people that are 70, 80, 90 years old, they should have the biggest dreams, not the smallest one, because they've seen God's hand of faithfulness on their life from generation to generation. And my prayer today is that some of us would start dreaming again, imagining again. And Ezekiel shows us today that God is still able to do incredible miracles and give us incredible victories in our lives. Now here is what I want to point out to you. How many of you would like to see some incredible miracles in your life? Like, I'm talking incredible things. Things, and I know that's a double word used there, because a miracle is incredible in and of itself, but it's exceedingly abundantly more. But here's the thing, incredible miracles require the God factor. Ezekiel shows us two things here to see incredible victories, incredible miracles in our life. Number one, the thing that he shows us, incredible miracles require the God factor. What do I mean by that? That God can do what you can't. That we're incapable of providing the miracle. Only God can provide a miracle in your life. And in Ezekiel, this whole thing happens in a few stages. First, the bones come together. But in Ezekiel 37 and 10, it says that it wasn't until the breath of God was breathed on them that they became a living army. You see, the Holy Spirit is what makes you alive. Here, we're nothing without the Holy Spirit. Is that how encouraging? I'm not, you know, that's so encouraging. You're nothing without the Holy Ghost, right? But we're the same way in our lives. We're nothing without the breath of God. And I told you guys this story a while ago, but it resonated with a lot of people. It's one of the few things I said that you guys actually remember. I told a story about the seminarian that would teach young preachers how to preach. And what he would do is he would take them to the graveyard. And he would say, hey, I want you to preach to that tombstone. Sometimes on Sunday morning, I'm not going to lie, I feel like I'm preaching to tombstones. Why aren't you responding? Is it that bad? Preach to that tombstone. See what happens. He said, as you're preaching to it, you feel like a fool, don't you? He said, you know what? That's what you feel like when you preach the word of God sometimes, except with what you're preaching, the gospel. Sometimes that thing will raise to life. You know, that's what we need to understand, that in and of itself, I could preach to that tombstone all day long and nothing could happen, but when the breath of God comes on it, it's revived. And what we need to understand today is that, you know what, in all you do in life, if you have a dream and you want to start a business or continue a business, you're praying for revival in your marriage, revival in your family, you're pressing out in this, without the breath of God, the favor of God, what you do on your life, nothing will happen. You know, I could get up here on a Sunday morning. I remind myself of every single time I come up here to preach. You know what? I love clothing. I could look the right way. I could have my fancy little mic and be sipping a latte, and I could have the best words ever, and I could be educated and wax eloquently and hoop and holla. But you know what? There's nothing I can say that can change your heart. There's nothing I can say that can take a person from death to life, from wrong to right, because it's Him that makes all things beautiful, not my words. And here's the thing, the moment I've forgotten about that is the moment I need to hang it up and quit, because I am nothing without the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you today, you need the Holy Ghost. I know this is old school, but you need the Holy Ghost on what you do. You need the oil of God on what you do. You need the favor of God on what you do. Because without the oil, you have nothing. Yeah. Telling you, you can't do anything. You could speak to a mountain all day long and it won't move an inch, but 1 ounce of pressure from the Holy Ghost, that thing will be cast down into the sea. You need the Holy Ghost in your business. You need the Holy Ghost in your marriage. Men, how many of you guys know you need the Holy Ghost in your marriage? I mean, come on. I want to remind you today this simple thing. If you want to experience incredible miracles, incredible victories in your life, you need that God factor on everything you do. And how do you get that God factor? Let me tell you two real quick things. I don't have time to go into everything. I think these are two of the main reasons, the two of the main things we see how to get the God factor on what you're doing. Number one is pray. You know what? I don't know what it is about the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Spirit is attracted to people praying. It finds people praying attractive. It's like people are praying, I need to show up. I need to be in the people that are praying in their presence. And let us not ever forget the power of prayer. People have come in here and said, what did you do to attract so many people? Is it because you got cool woodwork and all this fancy palette? Well, no, we stand at the altar and pray and plead the blood of Jesus. And in our businesses, in our families, in our life, before we begin our day, we need to pray. In the middle of the day, we need to pray. At the end of the day, we need to pray. Every single night before we go, my son goes to bed, what I try to do is lay my hands on him and pray the favor of God over his life. Because what I want my son to know is you might not be the most gifted, you might not be the most eloquent, but if God's favor's on your life, you can get to go where no one else can take you, son. But you need to pray. This is the tough one next. You need to be pure. Now hear me, salvation's immediate. Becoming Christ-like takes a lifetime. God can use a donkey, but you know what? The Holy Spirit prefers to dwell in something that's clean. If you want to see, the Holy Spirit's a dove. You try to put in some dirty water, he leaves. But you need to be pure. In other words, be blessable. You know, a lot of times we say, do you trust God? But the reality is, can God trust you? What does this look like? Well, have you been stewarding well what you've already been given? Rather than saying, God, can I get hooked up with another thing? You never took care of what you got hooked up with in the first place. You know, I believe this. I'm not trying to knock anybody, but I believe why a lot of people are financially broke is because God knows the person you'd become if he gave you money. You'd be walking around the next day with a brand new fur coat, driving a Beamer, going around, look at me, right? I'm telling you, if you want to see the test of this, watch what you do with your tax refund. Can you steward that well? I feel a move on spirit. What I mean by purity, if a person is lacking character, if you're knowingly sinning, if you're arrogant, if you take credit for what God has done through you, I'm telling you, one of the most dangerous things that can happen is God uses you and you actually start a new ministry the next day. God prophesied a word through you one time, the next day you're prophetess. Can God trust you to get things through you? Because all he's looking for, God's not looking for a perfect person, he's looking for a pure vessel. And here's what I want you to remember today, your gift will get you in the door. But it's your character that will keep you in the room. You know, your gift will get you in, but it's your character that keeps you. And I'm convinced so much that what's true with an individual is also true for the church. Now hear me. There's days when I'm sitting in my office and I remember going to a prayer meeting in the basement of a rented facility with three people. And then I see you walk in on a Sunday morning and you see like our teenagers are making video and we're doing stuff in house and it's like, oh my gosh, God, you've blessed us so much. How many of you know that we're blessed? I try to remind myself, and I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just trying to look at what God has been doing here. Sometimes what you need to do is celebrate any kind of bones coming together in life. God likes when you honor him for what he's already done. Let's give God some gratitude for what he's doing. I'm not saying we're better than anybody else. But what the work of God is doing at CLC Hammond, I know this, it's special. And you know what happens, though? What you see with churches time and time again throughout the course of history in any nation you look at is that God will use a vessel, and he's got a vessel of honor, but it starts getting to people's head, and they get arrogant. They don't confront sin. You have people that are sleeping with each other on the stage. You have people preaching that are looking at pornography and hooking up with chicks on the side, and they got side pieces, and their homosexual relationships on the road, and they're doing all this. What happens is you go back 7 years later, and you know what happens? The hand of God is lifted, and there's seven people in the seats because they didn't maintain a level of purity. God is looking for a pure bride. And I'm telling you, one word after another has been prophesied about this house, that miracle signs and wonders are coming forth. But you know what, God, when he's chosen a vessel, what he does is you better believe that our God is a jealous God. Our God's not going to be made a fool of. He's going to look at you and say, can I trust you with what I've given you? Can I trust leadership? Will you confront problems and rely on me and not your witty ideas? I'll tell you, I'm going to preach today. Here's the thing. You want to see the God factor on your life. I'm talking about the supernatural. I'm talking about the unexplainable. I'm talking about people looking at you and like, why is that person always getting blessed? Anybody ever felt that way with somebody? It's because you're blessable. That's why. You know, Joseph, you know what it said in his life? That he found favor with the Lord. How did he find it? Because he always gave God the glory. You know, you can't earn favor, but I'm telling you, you can position yourself for it. By praying and being pure. Amen. Somebody give God a shout of praise in this place. Here's an honest evaluation today. I want you to ask yourself, I've been asking myself this all week, are you blessable? Could God actually hook you up with the financial thing you've been praying for? Have you stewarded well what you already have? Another question to ask yourself, can God trust you? Can God trust us? So the first thing that Ezekiel teaches, incredible miracles require the God factor. Here's the second thing. Incredible miracles require your obedience. So Ezekiel has his vision. God asks him a question. Don't you love when God asks you a question? He asked him, he said, hey, let me show you this. Can I make these dead things come back to life? Telling you, one way God will speak to you is by showing you something that wasn't in your mind before. He'll bring you to a place where you see something that wasn't there. He wants to enlarge the way that you think. And he looked at him. God wasn't looking for an answer. He wanted Ezekiel to think, do you think I could do this? And Ezekiel said, you tell me, God. And what does he tell him? He says, prophesy to what? To bones. How many of you, God has ever asked you to do something that seems really, really foolish? He says, prophesy to these bones. And here's the thing. Sometimes the language of faith is foolishness. Sometimes in order to be used by God to see the supernatural hand of God on what you're doing, you have to be willing to look foolish. And here's the thing. Sometimes you actually have to be willing to stake your own reputation to build God's. Because God will never return his word void to you. And here, sometimes God's going to ask you to do foolish things. The Bible is full of times that God has asked people to do something foolish. You know, one time, a couple years ago, I was in the Philippines, and sometimes we have, like, getaway days. You guys seen that video with that guy making fun of our mission trips with Christians? Some days, you know, I'm not going to lie, some days our trips are like that. We're, like, on this tour boat, right, going around the Philippines and looking at some islands. And I was with Pastor Joel. Anybody know Pastor Joel from the Philippines? And he's a man of great faith. And we're going on this boat, and he looks at me. We're just having a conversation. He said, hey, see that beach right there? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I raised a girl from the dead over there. And he kept on talking. Like, there was no big deal. I said, wait, can you just say what you just said again? Like, I had the same look you guys just had. You did what? He said, yeah, like, I was on a boat, and there was a girl that was dead on the beach. She drowned, and her parents were there weeping with her. And so I jumped off the boat, and I started swimming, and I got to shore, and I just started declaring the word of the Lord over here. Lord, this is your daughter. Put breath in her lungs. And all of a sudden, her lungs started moving again after she had been dead for 30 minutes. And he just keeps on talking like it was no big deal. I said, wait, you need to stop right now. What did you just say to me? And I started thinking to myself, how many people would have never jumped off the boat and started swimming? How many times does God speak something and you're like, you know what? I don't know about that. And what I believe was in the soundtrack of his head. If he had his headphones on, what I believe is he wasn't swimming saying, God, you can't do this. What I believe he was declaring, nothing is impossible. You know, when God calls you to do something, I want to ask you, what soundtrack is in your mind? That I can't or nothing is impossible. You know what? Here's the thing. This is a reality for all of us, I believe, here today. There is a large gap in between your circumstance and your promise. Am I talking to anybody today? God has called you to do something. He's spoken it to you, but you're stuck in your circumstance. But here's my question today. Are you going to speak the problem? Or are you going to prophesy the promise? That's what Ezekiel shows us. He says, you know what? Prophesy to those dry bones. And instead of speaking problems over your life, so many times all we do is talk about what you can't do. Rather than imagining what would happen if the Holy Ghost touched my life. Ezekiel says this, it's time for you to prophesy over your dead place. This week, I've been so frustrated with God's timing. Am I allowed to say that as a pastor of the church? I'm like, God, dude, like I'm almost 40, God, right? Older people are like, call me later. Man, God, you spoke things over me years ago that haven't come to pass. And I was in my morning devotion. God speaks through his word. You never forget that. A lot of times, you know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with praying for a word. I'm telling you, honestly, every time a prophet comes here, I'm like, Lord, help her give me a word. Help him give me a word. I love a good prophetic word. But the word of God is speaking every day. And I was in my devotional time this week, and what I heard the Lord say, and I believe this is a word for our church too, was two simple words, get ready. So I paused, and I started listening to what God was saying, and what I heard the Lord saying was simply this: get ready. It's time for you to put your plans down on paper. A situation is going to be one way on Monday and it will completely change on Tuesday. It'll be a snap in the blink of an eye. Things are going to change, so you need to get ready. I'm waiting on you to put it down. So you know what I've been prophesying to myself all day? I know it doesn't look like it, but I'm going to get ready, get ready, get ready in my T.D. Jakes voice. Some of y'all need to start prophesying over your problems. And here's what we need to understand today about the supernatural. Supernatural acts of God typically begin with ordinary, everyday acts of obedience. I'm telling you, when my buddy Joel, that girl was raised from the dead because he jumped out of a boat. Peter walked on water the same way because he stepped out of a boat. Your marriage will come together not because you simply prophesy, but you actually act on what you're saying. You know, love your wife, invest in your wife, invest in your marriage. But I'm telling you, supernatural miracles happen with everyday acts of obedience because all God is looking for is an open vessel. Here's where I want to land today. I want you guys to think about this. Number one, incredible miracles require the God factor, and incredible miracles require your obedience. And so you guys know the rest of this story. Ezekiel does what God told him to do, and the bones were assembled and became a great army. And I was asking myself, where in the world did Ezekiel find courage? If you look at his life, he did some crazy things on this earth. And here's what I've been finding more and more in my life, and I believe a lot of people like you guys too, is that what you believe deeply, you speak boldly. Is that, you know what, when I think about all God has done for me, when I think about how he's never left me alone, when I think about how he showed up every single time, when my back was against the wall, I was thinking of situations in worship this morning that nothing is impossible. I'm telling you, there are situations that look so dismal that God showed up and turned it around immediately. But I'm telling you, when I believe that so deeply, I can speak it boldly. And here's what I want to encourage you guys to do. Look at Ezekiel 37:14 today. Here's what this whole scripture lands. He says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. He says, then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. And here's what you need to know, and I want to encourage you, write this down. Keep it in front of you this week. Declare it over your life each and every day. This simple phrase this week. Here's your homework. Are you ready? That God will do what he said he will do. If you break that scripture down, God is just basically saying, I'm going to do what I said I will do. So you speak boldly about that thing. God will do what he said he will do. If you guys could stand up really quick, I want to pray with you real quick. Could. How many of you guys are thankful for God today? This is no like offense or anything. That sounded like a clap like on the third green of a fairway, you know, or something like that at a golf course. I'm talking about like how many of you are really thankful for God today? If you could, close your eyes. I want you to think about that thing that the Holy Spirit's put in you, that thing that you dream about, that thing that maybe you've never even spoken to anybody else because you thought it was so absurd, so foolish. Recently heard about an author who was at a conference, and he had just written his first book, and books typically don't sell that well, the first one, and he said, God, I know this is a crazy number, God, can you multiply what I've done and can you help me sell 100,000 copies? God did 30 times more than that. Because when the oil is on your work, it's unstoppable. And I want you to think about that thing God has put in your heart. You know, I think one of the best ways we can honor God is by dreaming big about what he could do. You know, I'll be honest, for me, I've had dreams and things that I don't speak about too often, but at this church, I saw an auditorium that was big enough, it was about 10 times bigger than this place. Why I'm telling you that is I don't think we should get too comfortable. Because I think God is always trying to push us into what's next, to do more for him. And today, if you know what that thing is in your life, maybe it's a book, maybe it's really that God can restore your marriage. Maybe it's that dream that he put on you that you're stepping in right now that you just need God's favor. whatever that is, can you just lift that up to God in this place today? Can you raise your hands if you know what that thing is? You know, what's great about the Holy Spirit is He speaks to each and every one of us individually. That's why I would rather preach 5 words from the Word of God than 50,000 of philosophers. And I'm going to pray for you right now that God puts a special anointing on your life. Father, each and every person with their hands raised. Father, I thank You, Lord, that the oil of the Holy Spirit is coming over them right now in a fresh way. Oh, the presence of God is thick in this place right now. Father, I pray that today be a day on February 18th, the day that we mark, Lord, for Your glory. And we say, remember when we had this talk 1 year ago, all the things that God did in 2018. Father, I thank You, Lord, for how many ministries You've birthed in this place, in this house. Father, I thank You, God, that there's a generation here, Lord, who will honor You with their dreams, with their vision, Lord, and honor You that they put into writing the revelation that You're giving them. Father, I thank You for prophets and pastors and teachers and modern-day evangelists and digital missions, God, and all the things that You're calling each and every person to this church to. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You're restoring the dead bones of dry marriages right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You, Lord, that so many have kids pictured in their eyes and they're saying, you know what, this is impossible, God. My dream is that my child is coming home. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're calling to the winds right now to put all things together, oh God. Father, I thank You, Lord, for couples who dream of having a family, oh God. Lord, that You're opening wombs right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You, Lord, for those watching on Facebook. Lord, I thank You that the anointing of Your Holy Ghost is filling their living room, filling their car. God, I thank You. God, let us be known is a people, Lord, who honor You with our dreams and our visions, oh God. Father, I thank You that the spirit of humility will always be in this house. Father, even right now, individually, search our hearts, oh God. Point out anything in us that offends You, God. For we just want to be found pure before You, Father. If you could, just cry out to the Lord right now where you're at. Come on and lift your voices. Come on and praise the name of Jesus. If you need to repent, Lord, just lift it up to Him right now. The Holy Spirit is here.